1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Can Rangers bounce back against Ross County, and will Alfredo Morelos return to the team? Celtic are hoping to maintain or extend their lead as they take on St Johnstone in Perth, and St Mirren could become fan owned as early as next year. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, the old family in action tonight. Gordon, another big night for the title race at Ibrox. Will Alfredo Morelos come back from suspension straight into the starting lineup for Rangers? We would expect that will be the case. And up at Perth, Odson Edward was on the bench on Saturday but came off the bench to deliver a 5-star man of the match performance and make sure Celtic got the points to extend the lead over Rangers. So as usual, the two main strikers are in the headlines, and let's see what happens tonight, if there's more twists and turns to come.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a suggestion that Alfredo Morelos might be struggling with a calf strain, but it'd be a huge blow if he doesn't come back, because Rangers need the boost of his of their talisman. You know, I mean, he's been absolutely, you know, immense all season, and you know, just showed going last week to Tynecastle how badly they need him back in team. I think it just gives everyone at Rangers a lift, the supporters, the manager, I think, and his teammates. They know how important he is when he's on the team. As Mark said, Celtic, you know, with Edward having the luxury of coming on the pitch again, and you know, Lee Griffiths finding form again, scoring a couple of goals. New signing Klamala still really waiting there to make an impact. So a lot of firepower at Celtic's disposal.
So many talking points ahead of kick-off tonight. If you're a Rangers fan, just how important is it that you bounce back? A fairly obvious question to kick you off. Who should play? Is John Flanagan, has he missed his opportunity to play it right back? Is it about Matt Polster tonight? Would you expect a change in that department? How concerned are you about this rumoured calf problem with Alfredo Morelos? And of course, for Celtic fans, a few things for you to consider as well. Will it be one up front again? Will that one be Lee Griffiths or Odson Edward? Will he go back to 3-5-2? So many different questions, and you can answer them. 01419511025. I must say, you two are spoiled rotten. Every Wednesday you're in here, you've got midweek fixtures. I think that's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable. Well, and it's an exciting time.
It's brilliant. You know, we left here on Saturday night. I left our respective games, and I certainly did not expect Rangers to lose. On Sunday, I thought maybe Hearts would nick a point, and then watching the game on the telly, Rangers go one up, and you think that's it, job done and dusted. See it out. But as I've said many times on this programme, Gordon, once again, even in the most difficult of circumstances, Steven Gerrard, I just love his honesty. And you know, he tells it like it, doesn't try and sugarcoat it, doesn't try and paint in terms of insulting your intelligence by painting a different picture of what actually happened. And I really like that about it, and I'm sure his players will want not to go through another, you know, slaughtering from the manager. So that's why I expect them to get the point tonight, and also expect Celtic to win two, but might be a wee edgy one, could be a 2-1 or something at Perth.
Let's go to a couple of the venues. Well, both venues tonight. We've got big games involving both Glasgow's big two sides. Let's start with the one closer to home, Rangers against Ross County. Andrew McLean is keeping an eye on that one.
Yeah, well, all eyes on Rangers here to see how they respond from that loss to Hearts on Sunday. Steven Gerrard saying people would be right to question their bottle after blowing that one-goal lead at Tynecastle tonight. They're back at Ibrox. They'll be hoping to get back to winning ways, and they'll be hoping that Alfredo Morelos is involved as well. He's definitely back from suspension, but as you guys touched on, while he's been out, he's been nursing a small calf problem, so it'll be interesting to see whether he comes in from the start or not. Ryan Jack is definitely out, though. He went off at half-time at the weekend. As for Ross County, well, they made a stellar account of themselves, certainly in that first half at Celtic Park on Saturday. They created plenty of chances, but Stuart Kettlewell and Stephen Ferguson, who are out just walking on the pitch at the moment, they'll hope for a more clinical performance from them tonight if they can manage to carve out some of those opportunities. The rain swirling inside an empty Ibrox at the moment. I'll bring in the full team news as soon as it drops.
It's a miserable night, there's no doubt about that, but plenty of football to be played. Perth is the venue for St Johnstone against Celtic. Alison Conroy's looking ahead to that one.
Yet Neil Lennon wants his players to focus on their own campaign, insisting still too early to take too much from Rangers' slip up at Hearts. Chris Iyer and Ryan Christie returning to the squad for this game in Perth tonight, but there won't be any debut for Ismaila Sorrow. Celtic have conceded just one goal against St Johnstone in the last 9 meetings. That was in August 2017. They haven't conceded in the last 8 games, but they scored 27 in reply. 6-0 was the result the last time the two sides met. That was at Celtic Park on the opening day of the season. So we'll see what happens tonight. Remember as well, Celtic fans have the majority of the stadium here tonight, the three stands, with St Johnstone handing that over to the Old Firm for the remaining fixtures this season. Team news in about 20 minutes, Gordon.
Come on then, don't hang about. It's 01419511025. You have about an hour and a half, just over an hour and a half until kickoff. So until then, anything goes. You're the manager. You get to tell us who should play, who shouldn't play, how the team should line up, what the approach should be, all of the usual pre-match questions, and you can answer them on the phones or on Twitter. Plenty of questions to be answered between now and then, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, again, team selection is always going to be, you know, I think the thing that supporters will look at straight away, and that's because, you know, they've got big squads. You know, the big teams carry big squads. There's always that, you know, most of the time, you can maybe pick nine, but there's always one or two positions that maybe get freshened up by the manager or tactically tweaked. Obviously, Rangers have got Ryan Jack missing, which is, again, a blow for them. We wait to see about Morelos, as we spoke about. Celtic, again, with the new players coming in. He's changed it from a back three. He's played a diamond. He's played with two up top, Neil Lennon. But every time he's done it, he's been successful. So I think the thing is you're never quite sure with Celtic exactly what way they're going to play. Rangers generally play 4-3-3, but Celtic have changed it so many times. And as I say, but every time they've changed it, they've managed to get the proper result and scoring goals.
Let's kick off then with Alan, who's a Celtic fan from Motherwell. How would you like to see Celtic go about it tonight, Alan?
Morning, Gord. Morning, guys. I think it depends on the team that's available. I've heard rumours, I don't know if the guys have heard anything today about Olivier Ntcham linked with West Ham.
Yeah, I saw it just the same as you did, Alan. I don't know much more about it. What are your thoughts on it then? Let's take it at face value at the moment. Is that one that would concern you or one that you would encourage?
I would encourage. I think with Sorrow coming in with the fullness of time, I've seen a lot of footage on YouTube of him. He looks a very dynamic midfield player, kind of similar to Kante at Chelsea. He looks very mobile, good passer, but he can put a tackle in as well and put a shift in. I think Olivier Ntcham's kind of lost his way a little bit in the last couple of months. So if we're going to go with a three midfield, which I would personally like to see Celtic play away from home and against Rangers as well, I think you'd have to go with a three. So if Ntcham is available tonight, I would play him. If not, I would play. I think you need to go with three defensive midfield players, but I don't think we've got them if Ntcham's not going to be available. So that would mean that it would be McGregor and Brown, and maybe you have to play Christie in there. But Christie's obviously more suited to the 10 role. So again, it would kind of depend on the players that are available. But I would go with a 3-5-2. I think it works quite well away from home. I think Edwards can drop off. And I think Griffiths can go in behind with the two wing-backs providing the width and then a bit of solidity at the back with the three centre-backs.
Yeah, I think for what it's worth, the Cham thing to West Ham has been dismissed as agent talk. Sometimes, though, you never know and it comes back around. But at the moment, it's been dismissed. As for tonight, Jim, what do you make of Alan's suggestion? Because as we noticed, Celtic did go 3-5-2 previously, went back to the one up front at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Does it depend on who's available? Is that why Neil Lennon's doing it, or is he moving towards trying to change it permanently?
No, I don't think there's anything permanent about it. I just think he's mixing it up. One, he's keeping his squad happier, if you want to call it that. At times, I say to you, playing the two strikers, at times playing one, as Alan says, at times playing three midfield with a 5-3-2, and at other times, you know, with the two sitting 4-2-3-1. And I just think it's keeping everyone on their toes. And as long as I say this is successful, I'm not quite sure Alan's saying, oh, we need three defensive midfield players. Why does Celtic need three defensive midfield players in Scottish football? Absolutely not. You know, Celtic are a free-flowing team, score goals. You know, Brown and McGregor are more than enough to be in there. And if Sorrow comes in, he could be the other one. But for me, no, Celtic are a team who are built to go forward, built to score goals. Yeah, the couple of games against Rangers, maybe the midfield maybe needs tweaked, and that might be a game where he goes a little bit stronger. But other than that, take that one out of the way. Celtic, I think, you know, are a team suited to getting at the opposition, and I think we'll see that tonight, regardless of whether they play 3-5-2 or any other formation.
I wonder how much of this revolves around the fitness of Odson Edouard, Mark. He was clearly protected on Saturday. He's got an ongoing toe issue. Yeah. But then when Celtic and Neil Lennon have to turn to him, you can see the impact that he has. So it'll be interesting to see just how fit he is and whether he can go in from the start.
Yeah, I mean, I think tonight, when you're, with the greatest respect to Ross County at home for Celtic on Saturday, that's one where you could maybe say, well, look, we don't want to risk him. But I think tonight against St Johnstone, a tough game despite everything that's been going on with Tommy Wright and his employers. You know, St Johnstone did one at the weekend, so I think it's a game that you've got to start, Edward. And I'd like to see Celtic go with two up front. I really like that. I like to see partnerships. I think it's refreshing change to our game. So yeah, Celtic can do it. In terms of Sham and whether the thing from West Ham is genuine or not, I think he's an important player for Celtic. And unless it was ridiculous money, and I don't think West Ham would pay ridiculous money for Sham, when you're going for a title or you're going for a treble and you're still in Europe or whatever, I don't think you sell Olivier Sham. I think you keep him and then review it, like all other players review it at the end of the season. But I think it sends out the wrong message if you sell a guy like that just now.
Alan, it was Griffiths that started, maybe didn't have his best afternoon. Edouard replaces him and has the instant impact. Can you see them both being given the nod tonight?
I think so, and I hope so, and I think they can complement each other well. They're two different types of players. Edouard drops off, can receive the ball, can link the play, can put it out wide. Griff obviously likes to get in behind. So I think they can. I think, just to echo what Mark said, I think two would work well up front. Just quickly, just to get back to my point about the team selection, what I would also say as well, we can kind of mix and match, and ultimately I think the 3-5-2, we need to get used to playing that way, because ultimately against Rangers at Ibrox, I think that's the system that's going to work for us. I think against the last two Rangers games, there was an overload with Rangers in the midfield and we'll get overpowered. I think we need to learn how to work a system to beat Rangers. I don't think you can just tweak it just for that isolated game. I think you need to get used to the personnel that fit into that system. So when we come up against Rangers, we know what we're doing, they can get the right result.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said, I don't think it'll be one system that Neil Lennon sticks with. I think he's already, you know, kind of looked at various things. As I mentioned, they played a diamond in one of the games as well, you know, with two up top, and it worked, and three at the back, you know, four at the back. So I think he's got that flexibility in his squad. I think the new signings have given competition and given a bit of freshness to the squad. Again, we've had this, you know, varying debate over the last few years about James Forrest and whether he fit in, and if Ella Nussi gets fit, how does he come in? Where do you play? If you played 3-5-2, then those players would probably have to be sacrificed. So, you know, there's a lot of thought, you know, you would have to do if everyone's fit. But when everyone is fit, as I said, Neil Lennon's got the luxury of that flexibility of formations and quality. And no matter what system he plays, it's all high quality players that he's putting on the pitch.
Okay, thank you to Alan in Motherwell. That was Alan kicking us off, looking ahead to tonight. What about you Rangers fans? Let's get your thoughts on your team selection. Does Matt Polster deserve to start at right back after his appearance from the bench at the weekend? Did he do enough to convince you that he is an able deputy rather than John Flanagan in the absence of James Tavernier? You tell us. 01419511025. We were just about to speak to Charlie, but he appears to have disappeared, so we'll get him back in just a second.
I like Polster, Gordon. I think he deserves to start. Yeah, I was very impressed with him when he came on on Sunday. A bit about him, something fresh, something different, and so yeah, I would certainly, all things being equal, I would definitely give Polster the nod tonight ahead of John Flanagan. Yeah.
Charlie is a Rangers fan on the line. Charlie, Alfredo Morelos is free of suspension. Steven Gerrard says he's got a little bit of a calf problem. Is this a game you think Rangers can get through without him, or are you desperate to see him in that starting 11?
Well, I'd like to see him coming on tonight, but I feel as if he's turning into a liability with this carry on, missing all these matches. See how we never beat Hearts on Sunday there. If he'd have won the park, I'm not saying we would have won, but we'd had a better chance of winning. And you hear Hugh Keevan's turn round saying, oh, Rangers can't do without Morelos. Rangers are doing without Morelos. Morelos is sitting up in the stands doing nothing. And the thing is, what's the use of having a player and he's sitting up in the stands? That's three games he's been sitting up there. We scraped by the last three games. I was on the other night, the game of the Strand Ra, absolutely diabolical. The St Mirren game, diabolical. And then Hugh Keevan's turning and saying he couldn't see it coming, Hearts beating us. I seen it coming a mile away. I near enough knew that we were going to get beat.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You knew they were going to get beat.
Yes, I put a bet on it, to tell you the truth.
Well, even when you went one up, Charlie?
Yeah, aye. Well, so at the end of the day, I thought I'd made a mistake, but I still thought we need to come back in it again.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I agree with you on Alfredo Morelos, and I was waiting until the topic came up naturally to speak about it. But I think you're absolutely right, and that's where, you know, whether you think he didn't deserve to be sent off against Motherwell, or didn't deserve to be sent off against Celtic, or didn't he deserve the third yellow card, whatever it may be, the bottom line is, you're right, at the moment, he has been a liability, and his ability is not in question, but he's no use to Rangers. Mm. And there, I agree with you 100%. Morelos playing on Sunday, I fancied Rangers anyway, but he would fancy them even more with him in the team, and that's where he has got to be more professional and not take the bait. Don't rise to any wind-ups and concentrate on his football. The way he was from August to November, then he started to go off the rails. But listen, if he steps out of line one more time, you're looking at another three or four games against Charlie. And Rangers, that could be the difference between Rangers winning the title or not. So there's a lot on Morelos' shoulders, and he has to show more maturity, more professionalism, and stop letting his club and letting his teammates and his manager and the supporters down.
He is back tonight, Jim, so let's not preempt the next suspension, because there might not be one. He's back tonight. He is potentially available if this calf issue isn't as bad as it might well be. Is it about the type of fixture? Is it those games away from home, those battles, so to speak? Is that when you really need him?
I just think it's a system that Rangers play. Rangers like to play 4-3-3. Alfredo Morelos is the perfect centre forward for that system. I don't think Jermaine Defoe is the perfect centre forward for that system. Morelos occupies centre backs. You know, he can go in behind, he can come off, he likes the physicality of it, the challenge. Whereas I think when Defoe plays, he needs a partner. I think he needs someone round about him, someone to create space, someone to draw defenders out, because round about the penalty box, that's when he comes alive. But he's not a player that, you know, you can get up to him and then go and support. Morelos is. So I think Steven Gerrard's got a little bit of a decision to make when Jermaine Defoe plays, to change his philosophy, because he wants to play 4-3-3. But I think with Morelos playing great, with Defoe playing, I think he maybe has to play with a number 10.
He linked well with Arfield, remember, for that spell when Morelos was suspended. He's either injured or suspended last season. They did a great link up, I think, it was particularly one game at Firth Park against Motherwell. And yeah, you're right, him and Arfield have struck it up really well.
Well, we're going to take a breather. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we're going to hear from Neil Lennon and Stephen Gerrard, and hopefully you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy are here, building up to two huge games in the Scottish Premiership tonight. St Johnstone Celtic and Rangers against Ross County. Plenty of time for you to get your thoughts in, all your pre-match considerations, team lineup, who should it be? We're not too far away from getting the team news, so it's really your last chance to get your wish list in. Who should play, who shouldn't, you tell us. 01419511025. Let's hear from Gary McAllister. He was on media duty for Rangers this week, looking ahead to the game with Ross County.
Watching the bits of Ross County, you know, at Celtic Park, they had opportunities, they countered well, they were organised, so we're expecting a tough game. They'll come to Ibrox and try and make it difficult, get bodies behind the ball. But the interesting thing at Celtic Park was, you know, on the regains, they got men forward and created a few chances, so we've got to be wary of that.
In terms of analysing them playing at Celtic Park the weekend, is that maybe the perfect game to look to when preparing to face them at Ibrox?
Yeah, on occasions that's been used, yeah, because as you really rightly say, they'll possibly try and use the similar tactic at Ibrox.
So Gary McAllister on media duties for Rangers this week, Jim. It's sort of stating the obvious, isn't it? I mean, every game now at this time of this season in particular, everything's ramped up. So particularly when you lose at the weekend, I mean, that you can't really put too fine a point on it how important it is for Rangers to bounce back tonight.
Yeah, I'd hate to see the situation if that was happening in April, you know, I mean, it's still January, you know, and you know, that's the thing, that, you know, it's been such a close contest, you know, pretty much from day one, that any result at all that goes against you, you know, seems to be exaggerated in terms of the possible impact it might have. But you'll see tonight, Rangers have got the perfect chance because it's a quick game right after the weekend. But, you know, listen, doesn't matter how big a squad you've got, you miss key players. James Tavernier, I think when, you know, there's mixed opinions at times about his defensive qualities and that, but it just shows you how important he is to Rangers in advanced situations. Ryan Jack missing tonight. Two big players for Rangers. We don't know about Morelos yet. We're still waiting to find out. So I think that still looks as if it could be the difference between Rangers and Celtic this year, is maybe the squad strength and depth. I mean, obviously there's still many, many games to go, but I think when you lose those couple of players, it just shows you how big an impact it can have in Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Rangers should be comfortable tonight, even if Morelos is not available, or as we're kind of hearing at the moment, it's more than likely he's going to be on the bench, and that means that Jermaine Defoe will start again. And I think even for Jermaine Defoe, I think he missed a really good opportunity on Sunday to score for Rangers, kind of wide 10 yards out, didn't he hit the target? And I think it's one where he'll want to get back. He scored the winning goal against St Mirren last midweek, and I think he'll look to try and do the same. But I don't see this as being too much of a problem for Rangers. And that said, Ross County, even though they lost on Saturday at Celtic Park, they'll take a lot of encouragement from the performance, particularly in the first half.
01419511025. That's the number you need. Twitter is at Clyde SSB, and Graham is in Irvine. What's on your mind tonight, Graham?
How's it going, Gordon?
Hi. You okay?
Yep.
Good man.
I just don't want to Charlie, the last caller there. How negative was that?
Well, go on then. You can brighten up. You can be Mr. Positive. You can be the glass half full to his half empty.
He's on there a bit bet. Did I hear him right? He said he bet it against his own team. So that means he bet Hearts on Sunday.
I think he did, yeah.
Did I hear him right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
That's all right, is it not? I mean, it's maybe not my style or your style, but it's okay. People do it, do they not?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on.
Like
you
say,
I
well, I've never done it either, Graham. I'm just wondering. I'm pretty sure people have bet against their own team.
No, for where I come from, Gordon. Come on.
I agree with Graham.
That's what I said. I've never done it either.
I agree with Graham. If you're a supporter, I would never think if you're a supporter.
Is it not,
if you're playing against a big team, I wouldn't.
Is it not an emotional insurance policy? So you're happy if you win, and then you've got a wee softener if you lose.
No, not for me. I'm Graham.
Not for you, but I'm pretty sure that's the way people see it.
Listen, I'm
not
sure
one or two people like that, yeah, Gordon. Yeah,
I'm sure.
There are loads of them out there. I don't know why we're.
I know. Listen, football, as I said, it's an emotional roller coaster at times, and if you're supporting team, but I'm with Graham in the sense that, you know, Charlie was too negative and saying, oh, you could see it coming, that kind of stuff. Listen, there are games when you're not playing well. I think I'd said here last week when Rangers were playing, and Stephen Gerrard stated after the game, I think it was at Munwell, the fans, you know, if they want to complain, they can complain a little bit. I was basically suggesting that, you know, I think the fans, the atmosphere has to change a little bit, because the nerves will be there for players, you know, and if they're not playing as well, they need that encouragement. So that's the one thing I would say, Graham, is I think that at Ibrox, if Rangers haven't started well, you generally find that the atmosphere changes quite quickly. And I'm not saying it's volatile by any stretch of imagination, but it's quiet. It's quiet. And I think that that's when, particularly this season, the Rangers fans have to get right behind their team. Because teams will come and make it difficult, and if there's a little bit of nerves there, then perhaps the opposition can sense that.
Well, Graham, you're in the right place at the right time. You're going to get the first chance to react to the Rangers starting 11 tonight, because it has been announced, and Andrew McLean can bring us it.
Well, the big news is that Alfredo Morelos is back in the Rangers squad, but he only makes the bench for them tonight. There is three changes. Out go John Flanagan, Ryan Jack and Joe Aribo. In come Matt Polster, Scott Arfield and Shea Ojo. So it will be Alan McGregor starting in goal. A back four of Matt Polster, Connor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Stephen Davis, Scott Arfield and Glenn Kamara. And it will be Ryan Kent and Shea Ojo either side of Jermaine Defoe, who continues up front. The substitutes, Fodringham, Edmondson, Aribo, Patterson, Jones, Barker and Morelos.
So there we go, Graham. A couple of changes. Morelos is only on the bench. Polster comes in at right back. Ojo's given a start. What do you make of that, Graham?
I thought Morelos would go on the bench anyway with Aberdeen coming on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had that in my mind. But Polster did do well when he came on Sunday against Hearts. But I was on last, if you remember last week, Gordon, I was on.
I was wondering about, they played Flanagan against St Mirren after the Bobby Patterson had played.
Yes.
Against Stranraer, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, why not give the boy a chance against St Mirren and see what he can do against, I mean, St Mirren, are they really that better than Stranraer, really?
Yeah, they are.
And see what he can do against, him, maybe play against Hart. I'm not saying he's going to play against Ross County or Aberdeen on Saturday, but I'm just saying, let's build for the future.
Yeah, I mean, as valid, you can only assume that at this very moment, Stephen Gerrard doesn't quite think he's ready, or thinks that Flanagan and now Polster are ahead of him in the pecking order. What about that team tonight, Jim? Is it shades of Celtic and Edouard at the weekend, where Morelos is, I mean, he's fit,
yeah,
he's there, he's on the bench if needed, but Defoe's the man who starts.
Yeah, but I still think it's a fantastic option to have. They've not had it for the last few weeks, but again, I'm very interested to see Andrew's given us as a 4-3-3, but you look at that team, as I mentioned earlier on, it could quite easily go Ojo on the right, Kent on the left, Davis and Kamara as the two, with Arfield playing off Defoe. And I think that would give Rangers a more attacking threat, perhaps open up, which will be a tight defence here. But as Gary McAllister said, you know, they are very good on the counter-attack. But there is a little bit more flexibility. Listen, I'm with Graham. I know I'd like to have seen you know, Patterson playing perhaps against it. Man, they were going to dominate the game. Rangers, they were going to dominate possession. You know, he would have that freedom to get up and down the pitch. But listen, the manager makes a call. He's brought in Polster again, who seems to have done quite well when he come on. So therefore, you know, again, him and Barisic will be pushed high and wide, try and stretch the defence. But again, I said, personally, I would like to see Arfield playing a little bit closer to Defoe.
The Celtic team in Perth is out as well, Alison Conroy.
Yeah, it's three changes for Celtic for this one from the win against Ross County at the weekend. Out go Bower, Hayes and Johnson. In come Taylor, Ayer and Edwards. So it will be Fraser Forster in goal. And it'll be a back three, I think, of Chris Ayer, Jozo Samorovic and Chris Julien. Then Scott Brown, Cal McGregor sitting with the three of James Forrest, Olivier Ncham and Greg Taylor. Two up front of Lee Griffiths and Odson Edward. Your substitutes in Perth tonight: Gordon, Bower, Hayes, Rogic, Christie, Johnson and Klamala.
Interesting team that one as well, Jim Duffy. What do you read into it? It certainly looks like it will be three at the back. Do you expect James Forrest and Greg Taylor to be asked to play as wing-backs, similar to last week?
Yes, I think again it's a game where Celtic will dominate possession. You know, they've got those three centre-backs. It's a system, as I said, he's already tried you know, quite well. It's worked well for him, getting the two strikers. And I think it's always a good system to get two strikers on the pitch. As Mark said, They against, was it Commander a couple of weeks ago, they looked a really good combination, a lot of good combination play. Edward had a little bit of a rest, so he's managed to get himself back in again. So yeah, I mean, I think again, you look with Taylor, Forrest in the wide areas, you know, there's
is it Brown, McGregor and Sham? Is that the third sort of central?
Yes,
Sham, Brown, Sham, Sham. Right.
So it's a very strong midfield, pace and ability in the wide areas, and two absolute top class strikers up front. So yeah, I mean, again, St George is a big pitch, big wide pitch. Can be open in the elements tonight. But the pitch is generally pretty good. And as I say, it's a big wide open pitch. So I think that's another part of the reason why he's got those wing backs out there, because he can really stretch the game.
And the depth: Mark Guidi, Ryan Christie returning from injury and suspension, he's back on the bench. Patrick Klamala's on the bench. Mikey Johnson, Tom Rogic, Johnny Hayes and Moritz Bower, along with Craig Gordon. So I mean, a player like Ryan Christie coming back is clearly going to be great news if you're Neil Lennon.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it shows you the strength and depth that they have. If things are not going well, you need to freshen it up, or you need to shore it up. Even then, you know, there's certainly really good options on the bench for Celtic.
One of your favourites is playing tonight, Mark.
I've just about to say that, yeah. Greg Taylor,
a long time fan of his.
I like him, so it'll be good to see how he operates down the left hand side. I think at the moment, that's clearly a position that Sutford grabs, because Neil kind of changes it about. So I think Greg Taylor, that will suit him as well. He's got a good engine, he'll enjoy getting up and down the left, having the freedom of that. And he can also cut inside. And it's a solid three in the middle of the park: Brown and Sham and McGregor. And like you say, it's not often we see it, and I welcome it all day long as a partnership up front. And Griffiths and Edward is as good as they come.
Scott is a Rangers fan from Johnston. What's on your mind tonight, Scott?
Well, it's just about the guys were talking about earlier on about how Defoe needs somebody up along with him. He's not a man that plays up front to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And why Jordan Jones, what is it he needs to do to get in this Rangers team? is it what? And knew the fact that they're letting him go. There's a picture that's going to be on social media that shows a guy coming after the park, him and Gerrard high-fiving each other. The two of them are looking opposite ways. Has there been a fallout with Jordan Jones? Because surely one crazy tackle hasn't ended this man's Rangers career. Why is he not getting anywhere near us? And why is Rangers not, or Gerrard not telling us? It's not as if Steven Gerrard's done some crazy tackles, is it, in his past?
Yeah, I mean, Gary McAllister was asked about it. He said that him and Brandon Barker could play their way into the team if they trained well. But Scott's right, there were stories suggesting that both of them could be on borrowed time at Ibrox. He's on the bench tonight. Any particular reason for it, as far as you're concerned?
Well, he's clearly not shown enough in training week to week. That's not to say he's not a quality player. I like Jordan Jones. I like Brandon Barker. My preference would be Jordan Jones over Brandon Barker. I think he just offers a wee bit more in terms of his overall game and you know, his overall discipline in terms of positional discipline, tracking back, etc., etc., as well. But going from the stories that I've read, looking at you know, where the stories have originated from, if you like, then there's certainly something in the fact that those two guys are available, and I would expect one of them, if not the two of them, to be away by the close of the window on Friday.
It's a difficult one. Jordan Jones is an out and out winger for me, and maybe just the way Rangers play, like Barisic, to be the one that gets high and wide in the winger to come in like Kent does, and I'm not sure if Jordan Jones is maybe just adapted to that yet. It might take him a bit longer.
Does that surprise you then? Because you're right, Rangers don't really play with those natural wingers, yet they signed a good number of them in the summer. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, because again, you had Hasty, which they've called back, Jones back. Yeah, I mean, it gives you options, but listen, just the way it's developed, I think sometimes in your head before a season starts, you think, like, I've got these options. Mm-hmm. But then, for instance, somebody like Barisic comes to the fore and really goes
in an attacking
beyond,
sense,
beyond perhaps what you expected. And you then think, wait a minute, that's working a treat. So we then need to adjust to that. And the likes of Kent and Jones coming in the pitch, and I think Kent maybe does a little bit more in there. So the thing is, Scott, I don't think there's been a fallout in that sense, and you're 100% right, because I think Steven Gerrard came out and says, listen, he's been guilty of one or two tackles himself. So I really don't see that being the case. But and also pictures, listen, if somebody takes a frame of a picture, someone just turns away for a split second, there's a lot of you know things that you can make of these things. I just think it's maybe the fact is, he's, like Mark said, he's maybe not quite adapted to the way Rangers
want to play.
The
other thing I've got to remember too, which is crucial, isn't it? Right, all these players were signed before Ryan Kent, so Ryan Kent was a last minute thing. So he's probably like, I can get him for nothing, I get him for 50 grand,
and then
I'm going to try two or three and see who comes, and then ended up getting Kent back in the last day of the window.
Just quickly, Scott, before you go, you could make a strong case to say that Jack, Tavernier, Morelos, Rangers' three best players this season, or they'd certainly be up there. Can you cope without them tonight?
I hope we should be able to cope without them, because we're better than that team, and it's been disappointing the last couple of games. We come back for the last winter break, and we never come out the stoppers, and we've not done it this. So what's the point again? It's going away to this winter break and doing these big things if it's not helping the team.
Fair point. An hour to go until kickoff. It's the perfect time for you to get in touch, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are here with less than 60 minutes to go until kickoff in the two big games, St Johnstone against Celtic and Rangers against Ross County. So still plenty of time for you to get your pre-match thoughts in. I was just thinking back to Scott and Johnson's call just before the travel, Jim, when he was talking about Rangers coming back from their winter training camp and not managing to hit the ground running. How were your experiences of going? Did you not go for the infamous trips to Blackpool with Partick Thistle?
Yeah, but the one or
did you come back in good
trips,
form?
But you know, the infamous one where John Lambie, the late great John Lambie, the boys had a wee swing with him and threw him in the water, and it was, I think it was February or January or February anyway, and it was absolutely Baltic anyway to throw John in, and unbeknown to us, he landed on a wee rock underneath the water and broke his ribs and punctured his lung, and had to stay in the hospital down at Blackpool. But when we came back up the road, Scott was saying that Rangers, you know, didn't have a great run of results or great performances. We went on a great run and started winning games, and John was that superstitious that he wouldn't change. So when he eventually did come out of hospital and come back up the road, He didn't take the team. He didn't take the training.
Seriously, stay
yeah,
away.
Yeah, he wanted everyone to be the same because he was so superstitious until such times we get beaten. I can't remember the run we were on, but we were on a really good run. But John was so superstitious that he just kept saying, no, we do exactly that. Just keep doing it, whatever it was. So Jerry Collins or myself, whoever it was taking little bits and pieces, because I wasn't a coach. I was just kind of helping out at the time. I was playing. And Big Jerry would take it and he just listen, leave it alone until such times I think we lost. And then eventually then he came back to his cursing best, should we say, in the dressing room and to drive us on to the end of the season.
You football types and your superstitions, honestly. If any budding footballers are listening, it's still not advisable to chuck your manager in the sea during the winter break. Can we just be very clear about that? Thomas,
best in black, maybe Dubai or something.
Thomas is next up in Kilsyth. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Thomas. How are you?
Not bad. I've got two points, guys. The first one's regarding Patrick Lamala. He'll be walking for 3.5 for me, and he's not the game. He said 15 minutes against Partick Thistle. I can't understand why he's not starting. I know we like to play one up front. We've been playing with two up front in the past couple of games, but I just think play the boy, see what he can do.
Thomas isn't alone. We've heard this point a few times. What do you think, Mark? I mean, it's still the point. I think someone mentioned it last night. I know he was signed for decent money, but he's literally 2 weeks into a four-year deal or whatever it is. You know, is it worth worrying about at the moment?
No, it's not. I don't buy into that. You know, if Celtic are losing games or Griffiths is missing sitters or Edouard is missing sitters, then fair enough. But, you know, Celtic have got two very good strikers. The re-emergence of Lee Griffiths since the winter break has been a big surprise, I think, but a major bonus for the club and for Lee Griffiths himself. So no, why throw Klimala in? You don't need to. And as I've said, Gordon, for a number of months now, sometimes a January signing is with more of you having an impact in the summer. That's not to say he won't be involved, but I don't think he's been bought to come in and win 9 in a row for Celtic. He's been bought as an investment, as somebody with potential, somebody that will do them a turn, but he's not been brought in to replace or to oust Odson Edouard from the team at this moment. So there's no panic. Doesn't mean to say he's not doing well. Doesn't mean to say it's £3.5 million wasted. He will come good for Celtic, but I don't agree with Thomas in terms of play him. I don't agree with that at all.
I think Thomas, you know, you need time to say I went to Scottish football. You know, it's a totally different style of football to perhaps where he's played. The tempo, the demands, you know, you've got to fit into the system. You know, all of these things take time. A young player, 21 years of age, coming to the country, got to adapt to moving away. All those things. When Bolly Bolingoli came in at first and Julian came in at first, they were taking a fair bit of stick, you know, because they were thrown straight in. And they weren't probably quite ready. They probably got a bit of a shock to the system. But once they settled, then their performance levels improved. And I think, you know, the likes of Neil Lennon will be fully aware of that, and his coaching staff will be aware of that. So bed him in, get him used to the guys, get him used to the way it is, the tempo, the training, and eventually find a way in. The other thing is, from Celtic's point of view, they've got a title to try and win. So their job isn't just to, you know, feed, you know, young players in. It's to get over the line, and if they get over the line, then obviously then Klamala's getting into a bit more of a relaxed environment.
What do you think, Thomas?
Yeah, I can understand that. I would just like to see the boy play. I mean, I know what you're saying is trying to bed him into the team. I can understand that, but I would just like to see how he would do. I mean, we did pay £3.5 million. All right, Griffiths has played well, don't get me wrong.
You never know, Thomas. I guess the fact that Celtic are going with two strikers tonight, that perhaps, well, it will increase his chances. If Celtic were to get comfortable in the game, Odson Edouard is carrying the toe injury, Lee Griffiths has been working his way back to full fitness, so there's every chance you'll see him tonight, Thomas.
Yeah, I hope so, just to see what he can do.
What was your second point? I'm just conscious that the news is coming up and I don't want to cut you off, Thomas.
No, it was just the same point that I think the young boy Sorrow, I think he could be a one for the future. I've seen a couple of videos on YouTube about him, and I think he could be a one for the future. He's a real good player.
You're hoping so. Anyone who is convinced one way or the other is probably kidding themselves on, because you just never know. You look at that type of signing, the young midfield type who has come from a smaller league and maybe hadn't heard too much about him. Victor Wanyama comes over and is an unbelievable success. Ibuyi Kouassi come over and hasn't managed to have anywhere near the same level. Yep. And there have been so many over the years that fit that that type, that sort of
one thing. Celtic,
couple of million quid.
But they've got good knowledge of that market, Celtic. They've got good contacts in the Israeli league. You think of Beaton, you think of Kyle, who had a decent Celtic career as well. Unfortunately, one or two injuries. So
Effie Ambrose, it's a market they like.
Yeah, I mean Effie Ambrose, for all his critics, he was more than decent for Celtic at 600 grand or whatever. He was decent value. But for Soro, as you say, it's guesswork at the moment. But it's a market that Celtic do know, and you know you're not going to spend 2 million somebody from Israeli football unless you're fairly certain that they're going to offer you something over a period of time.
Thomas and Kosai, thank you very much. Let's quickly get the full teams from Ibrox. I don't think we brought you the Ross County team yet. Hopefully Andrew McLean is still there.
I am indeed. Yes. And well, if you didn't hear earlier, it's three changes for Rangers: Flanagan, Jack and Aribo dropping out. In come Polstar, Arfield and Ojo. Morelos is on the bench, McGregor in goals, Polstar, Goals and Katic and Barisic the back four, Arfield, Davis and Kamara the midfield three, with Ojo and Kent either side of the four. And unsurprisingly, just the one change for Ross County from that display against Celtic at the weekend. So it's Lee Irwin that drops out for Billy Mackay. Nathan Baxter starts in goal, a back four of Marcus Fraser, Cole Donaldson, Keith Watson and Sean Kelly the midfield five, Josh Mullen, Ian Vigers, Jordan Tilson, Don Cowie and Blair Spittle, with Billy Mackay the lone striker. The substitutes: Laidlaw, Fontaine, Draper, Irwin, Spence, Foster and Shaw.
Let's see if Alison Conroy is still with us to bring us the St Johnstone team. And she's not. We'll do that for you in the not too distant future. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. You only have until 7 o'clock to make the call, so don't miss out. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. You come on here, you answer as many football questions right as you can, and if you get more than Jim Duffy or Mark Guidi, you beat the Pundit and you win the signed ball. Simple as that. Give us a call right now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on a big night in the Scottish Premiership. Celtic taking on St Johnstone in Perth, Rangers welcoming Ross County to Ibrox. Just under 45 minutes until kick-off, so still plenty of time to get your calls in before the games get underway. Don't miss out. A bit later on this hour, maybe in about 15-20 minutes time, as we've been doing all week, we'll be giving away hospitality tickets to an SPFL match by simply playing higher or lower. Good bit of fun, so make sure you listen out for that in the coming minutes. In the meantime, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy are both standing by. One of them is going to be taking on Patrick from Rock Hill. How are you tonight, Patrick?
I am fine.
This is obviously the big game tonight, Patrick, but in the wee game, your team's playing up against St Johnstone in Perth. Are you confident?
Very aye.
Good stuff. Well, let's see if we can get you two victories tonight. Can't do anything about the Celtic one for you, but let's see if we can get you a victory on Beat the Pundit. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you're going to be playing Mark Guidi, and if it's tails, you'll be up against Jim Duffy. And it is tails. Jim Duffy against Patrick from Rock Hill. So here's the deal. I'm going to give Jim Duffy something else in his ear at the moment so that he can't hear you. You've got 30 seconds, Patrick, head to head with Jim. You can pass. If you don't know it, pass it quickly and just move on to the next one, okay? Good man, Patrick. Your time starts now. Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs last night?
Deutsch.
How many league trophies did Artur Boric win with Celtic?
Six.
What nationality is new Rangers women's signing Bala Devi?
Finish.
Who will Falkirk face in the next round of the Scottish Cup?
Do you need to have?
What was the score the last time Celtic faced St Johnstone in the league?
5-0.
Which former Rangers defender won the League Cup with Ross County in 2016?
Richard Foster.
Okay, let's bring Jim back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
Great, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Okay.
Your time starts now. Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs last night?
Christian Deutsch.
How many league trophies did Artur Boric win with Celtic?
4.
What nationality is new Rangers women's signing Bala Devi?
Indian.
Who will Falkirk face in the next round of the Scottish Cup?
Hearts.
What was the score the last time Celtic faced St Johnstone in the league?
4-0 Celtic.
Which former Rangers defender won the League Cup with Ross County in 2016?
Ricky Foster.
And Colin Calderwood has parted ways with which English League 2 side?
Cambridge United.
Okay. What do you think, Patrick? Do you fancy your chances?
No, I'm beaten.
You pulled a couple of decent answers out there. You got the you were swithering on the first one, but you got it in the end. Christian Doidge got the hat-trick for Hibs last night. How many league trophies did Artur Boric win with Celtic? It was actually 3. So none of you got that one right. The nationality of the new Rangers woman signing Bala Devi. She is Indian, so it's 2-1 to Jim. It then goes 3-1 because Hearts will face Falkirk in the next round of the Cup. The score of the last time Celtic faced St Johnstone in the league, 7-0. First game of the season.
I thought they'd played a game after
7
that.
In the league. Which former Rangers defender won the League Cup with Ross County in 2016? It was Richard Foster. Patrick, you got that one. Well done, you pulled it out the bag. But unfortunately, so did Jim. So it's 4-2 to him. And he then stretched it because he got on one more question than you. Colin Calderwood has parted ways with Cambridge. So it was a 5 for Jim and a 2 for you, Patrick. Hard lines.
No bother.
Good man. Patrick. That was Patrick in Rockhill.
You know, when I was doing the quiz and I thought you mentioned, or maybe it was Alison that mentioned the Celtic St Johnstone score on the opening day of the season.
I think she said 6.
I thought she said 6. Yeah, because I didn't know it, but only because either you or Alison said 6 earlier in the programme.
I was blaming Alison. It might have been me, but
I thought it was another game after that anyway. I thought it was the third game. So
last time we faced in the league, so there we go. 7. It was 7 though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I'm just saying somebody said 6.
None of them got it right anyway, did they?
No.
Because they've all said 4.
That's not the point. It's about us getting it right.
I hope you think so. 01419511025. Like I say, your chance to win VIP hospitality tickets to an SPFL match coming up in the not too distant future. So make sure you're listening out for that one. Any St Mirren fans out there, we would love to hear from you on what is a potentially exciting story that has been breaking today. They will become Scotland's latest fan-owned club as early as next year if a planned partnership with a local charity goes ahead. Now, the St Mirren Independent Supporters Trust plans to team up with local social care charity Kibble to buy out current owner Gordon Scott by the end of 2021, much earlier than forecast. It is hoped that at-risk young people in the charity's care can then benefit from training and employment opportunities at the club. So they're kind of going to team up and see what they can do to improve these people's lives. Here's Chief Executive Tony Fitzpatrick.
Gordon Scott, who sort of is a major shareholder, and Gordon's a St Mirren supporter, and himself and Smicer, which is a St Mirren Supporters Association, done the deal to sort of have fan ownership in 10 years' time. Now, when we spoke for about a year with Kibble, we've seen big opportunities, and Gordon, unbelievably, you've got to give him great credit, seen that and said, right, this is the best way forward for the club. So he's sold quite a few of his shares, so now you've got, Gordon will now be the major shareholder, so you've got 3 sort of major shareholders, and but it's all positive for St Mirren Football Club. But you're right, as I say, it's the main thing was fan ownership. Now, we're going to get that earlier, 6 years earlier. Now, to bring that to the table for the supporters is incredible.
It's not automatically the case that fan ownership always works. I think we know that. However, we've seen Motherwell being a decent example recently. If you are a club of a certain size and you have strong roots and ties within your community, you can really make it work and you can make a good go of it, and there can be various parties that benefit from it. So if St Mirren can move forward and get a successful model sooner rather than later, this has to be seen as good news.
Yeah, you know, and teaming up with the Kibble charity as well. But you know, one thing, when you hear fan ownership, I think, how's that going to work? Fan ownership doesn't mean the fans make the decisions day to day. You know, we want the manager sacked, we want a new player, we want to go £1 million into debt, or you know, whatever.
They put representatives on the board.
They represent, but they don't call the shots. But it does seem to be the way forward. Yeah, for a lot of clubs. And like you say, Motherwell is a really good example of how it can work, how it can be really productive. Gives the fans a lot of comfort if clubs are being looked after the right way. So good for St Mirren. Pleased for them. Really like Tony Fitzpatrick. A lot of time from St Mirren man through and through. And on another note, I thought it was absolutely brilliant to see the stand getting named after him yesterday too.
I'm going to get to that in just a second, because it was quite something for him. But I mean, Jim, it's this partnership, or this proposed partnership, it's certainly a bold one. It's a bit different from any of the other models that we've seen. So like I mentioned just before, we heard from Tony Fitzpatrick, Kibble, a local charity, people within their care, mm-hmm. that the hope is that they can then benefit from yes. employment opportunities at the club and in different training schemes and so on. So if that all comes together, you can see a mutually beneficial relationship there.
I think it's brilliant. Listen, football gets a lot of stick for a lot of things, and obviously recently there's been a lot of controversy about the betting companies involved and the sponsorship and all these kind of things. But let's give this as much publicity as we possibly can, because these type of things get a fraction of the publicity. And you know, for some a club like St Mirren to go to the Kibble and get that partnership, as you say, it can be life changing for many of these young people who are in Kibble, who can come out. Is there opportunity there, whether it's for mental health reasons, physical health reasons, you know, getting confidence, job opportunities, getting their lives back on track again if they've been off, if they've been, you know, in difficult situations. So for me, I think it's a fantastic, opportunity for the likes of the Kibble, but with St Mirren, and I think they deserve an awful lot of credit, and I think Tony Fitzpatrick, Gordon Scott, all those people involved at St Mirren deserve a lot of praise for it, because it's not easy to do that. And as you say, fan ownership and all these kind of things. Listen, most clubs are owned by fans. You know, they are fans anyway. You know, but some happen to have a few quid here and there, and they want to invest in their team. This is different. This is a trust, and a charitable trust. And I think, as I said, it deserves an awful lot of positive publicity. And well done, St Mirren, and hopefully it goes really well for all parties concerned over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Guidi stole my thunder, but I'm not bitter at all. It has been a big week for Tony Fitzpatrick with the news yesterday. The club has renamed one of the stands after him as well.
It's incredible. It was, I never knew about it, to be honest. It was a bit of a shock when we walked across to the stand and unveiled it. I was in a bit of a shock, but it's a great honour for myself and my family. And as I say, I've been here since I've been a 12-year-old kid, and to get that honour is incredible. But I must say, I'm not just saying this, Kibble, and this excites me more. I think this is a massive opportunity, and it's unique in football, and St Mirren are leading the way.
I must admit, if you've not seen the video of the placard, if you like, being unveiled, go and watch it. St Mirren put up, it's great. Okay. Because, you guys know Tony, but we've had him on the show. He wears brilliant. His heart on his sleeve, very honest guy. It just oozes out of him, and he genuinely didn't know. So Gordon Scott pulls back the curtain, and it says, he's emotional, he has to step away from the camera.
He's proper St Mirren, make no mistake.
It's a great video, go and check it out.
Congratulations to Tony. I mean, I've known Tony for a long, long time. Way back, he came back from an area not far. We both played for Post OIM. I think Tony was a year ahead of me. But what he's done is fantastic for St Mirren, as you say. You know, to have that, you know, a stand named after him, I'm sure he was very humbled. But just telling you the type of guy he is, he's not looking about that there. The first thing he says is get to the Kibble, connection. Mm-hmm. And that's more important, you know, going forward. So, yeah, I mean, fantastic for Tony. And again, as I said, there's no guy deserves it more.
St Mirren fans, what do you think? 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. A couple of questions, or points, I should say, coming in. Anthony says, glad to see Greg Taylor getting a chance tonight for Celtic. Good balance to the team. He would make one change though, Christie, for Cham. He offers more of a goal threat. Apart from his sending off at Livingston, he hasn't let us down. And Stephen Kennedy says, do you think Sorrow has been brought as a replacement for Scott Brown? Scott may only have a couple of seasons left in him. What do you think? Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Scott Brown pretty much is irreplaceable for Celtic, you know, in the terms of, you know, what he's given to the club, his leadership, you know, his experience, his knowledge. I mean, I don't think he'll be going anywhere when he steps away from the playing side. I think he'll be absolutely a part of Celtic's backroom team. I think he will be at Celtic for a long time to come. But in terms of the style of play and maybe further down the line, but I think he's been written off probably the last 3 or 4 years, and he's still pretty much the first name in the team sheet. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. I don't see it happening this year, and I certainly don't see it happening next year.
Okay, we are building up to kick off in the two big games, Rangers against Ross County, St Johnstone against Celtic. So still loads of time for you to get in touch regarding those fixtures. Let's speak to Craig though. Craig is a Kilmarnock fan on the line. Are you starting to get a bit concerned with your team's performances, league position, Craig?
All right, guys. Craig. Pretty much, aye. I mean, I still struggle to get my head around why we sacked Alessio. I mean, the man came in, all right, he didn't have the greatest starts. He comes in, we sat fifth in the league when he was in charge, behind the Old Firm and Aberdeen, who are the three biggest clubs in Scottish football, and Motherwell, who were on a really, really good run at the time. And we sack him for some reason, and Alex Dyer comes in, and you take the Queen's Park game out, no disrespect to them, but we should be beating teams like that 4-5-0 at home anyway. He's had five league games in charge, he's lost five, and we've scored two goals in five games. Now, I don't see where we're going to improve. I mean, he's brought the two boys in from down south, the big boy up front. Kabamba looks a bit of a handful, but he's not really got the players round about him to play off him. I struggle to see where we're going to get the win that we need to possibly kickstart us on.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand why Craig's concerned. You look at the run of form, Queen's Park, as Craig mentions, is the exception to the rule. It's a long run of defeats as well. Yeah. Not even managed to punctuate it with the odd draw here and there. It's defeat after defeat after defeat going back quite some time. And now when you look at that league table, the teams above them are starting to maybe pull away a little bit. Six points between Kilmarnock and Hibs. It looks like that bottom six could already be moving towards becoming a bit of a battle.
Yeah, and it's great for our game. You know, Craig's concerned.
Well, for Craig's blood pressure, though, it's not.
I can see where he's coming from, but if ever there's a chance to kickstart the season, Craig, it's going to be on Saturday at home at Ross County. I'm going down to Rugby Park for that game, and that's one that really Kilmarnock need to win. I don't have alarm bells at the moment for Kilmarnock, but were they not to win on Saturday, then yeah, I would be concerned for them for sure. But I would disagree with you. I think they have got a talented squad. I was at the Queen's Park game. I think they played well, although I take your point about the calibre of the opposition, but I think they have got really good players middle to front. I think they're fairly solid at the back, and they've got two of the best central midfielders in the league. But I think it's more down to confidence rather than ability, and a result can put that right, but it has to come on Saturday.
Yeah, what Mark's saying about, you know, the sort of look on paper, but you can totally understand where Craig's coming from, because those good middle to front that's not manifesting itself with goals. They're really struggling in front of goal.
Yeah, I mean, again, and you know, just when Stevie Clark came into first and there was a few injuries and that, I think that he brought Eamon Brophy into the Scotland squad, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, he was last year a guy who looked as if he had a lot of confidence, you know, and he's not a prolific goal scorer, but he did look as if he was a guy that led the line, and he just seems to have just dropped out the picture a little bit. You know, he's been a bit part, and Kabamba coming in, and you need a bit of time for that. But yeah, it doesn't matter who you are, and you know, Alec was there under Stevie Clark, he was there under Alessio. I think that there are times when, you know, directors make decisions quite quickly, you know, and I just felt maybe he needed a little bit more time. But they obviously looked at the January situation, perhaps thinking, listen, we want out to allow Alec Dyer to give that January window. I still think there might be a couple of players come in, and I think they need them. I think they need that little bit of more creativity going forward to help them score goals. Because, listen, no matter how strong you are, and Mark's right, defensively they look quite solid at the back, organising midfield, but they're not scoring and creating enough goals, and that's the reason why I think there'll be another couple of players come in before Friday.
Craig, do you feel like Alex Dyer is trying to get back to what they did under Stevie Clark, and he was obviously a big part of that, where you know, being tight, being hard to beat is the first part, the problem being they've just not managed to add the second bit? Because you look at the defeats, so many of them are 1-0, just, you know, tight games, just fine margins. In fact, was it not five, going off memory here, it was either 4 or 5 1-0 defeats in a row. So they're almost getting the first bit right, Craig, and maybe just not quite giving themselves that platform to build on.
I do. I mean, you can see where he's going. I mean, he's got the foundations of the Steve Clark team that we had. But I mean, Eamon Brophy, like you say, I mean, the guy was full of confidence last season, and all right, you can see maybe why he's not confident, because Steve Clark instilled it in him. But he's just a completely different player this season. He's lost all sort of confidence in front of goal. And I know, like you say, he's not a prolific goal scorer, but I mean, he was scoring some vital goals last season as well, especially. And I just don't know what's happened to him. I mean, bringing Greg Kilty back as well from Dunfermline, I think Greg Kilty, I've said it from the first time he came into the team, he's got talent, the boy, and for some strange reason he's not been getting games. And I just hope now Alec Dyer can give him the run of games that he maybe needs to get the confidence in him and to actually show his ability. I mean, I remember when he first came in, he rejected Hibs
to stay at us, and then after that, he was never in the squad. He got his injury. He came back, and ever since then, he's been out on loan. So I maybe even hope he's maybe the guy that can maybe link the middle to front once he gets a run of games and gets confidence under his belt.
Well, time will tell. Mark Guidi's your man this weekend. He'll keep an eye on it for you and report back. That was Craig, a Kilmarnock fan from Kilmarnock. This has been good fun the last couple of nights. It's time for this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play. Bag a winning result. Please gamble responsibly.
The Ladbrokes transfer window is well and truly open. It's been open all week, and we're giving you another chance tonight to win VIP hospitality for two with Ladbrokes and their 1-2-3 promotion. All you have to do is give us a call on 01419511025. Come on, play a very simple game of higher or lower, get three in a row, and you will be away to the game of your choice. It is, of course, subject to availability. So call us right now, 01419511025. You need to get your call in by the end of this break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got a very busy end to the show because we're going to play for the tickets with the Ladbrokes transfer window, but I will still get your teaser up and running just to give you the same amount of time as always. So Eric Duff has been in touch tonight with your question. He says 14, don't worry, I'm going to take that down, 14 uncapped Englishmen have played for Celtic this century. Now, I think 14's too many, so we'll just go name the last 10.
This century.
So name the last 10 uncapped Englishmen to play for Celtic.
Gary Hooper?
Yes.
I think Englishmen have played for Celtic.
So like I say, there are 14 this century, but let's just do the last 10. Don't want to be here all night.
As well.
Some of these
Tyler are, Blackett.
Brilliant, well done. Brilliant. Some of these are absolute crackers as well.
And who was the other right back? Had a few moves, played for St Johnstone on loan.
Yep.
Back down south again.
I mean, I will need a name, but he's the right guy.
Yeah.
Plays for Preston currently.
There's a D in his name.
Begins with a D.
Yeah.
You can get back to me.
Yeah, we'll
Dylan
Knox.
Plenty of time. Let's do this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play. Bag a winning result. Please gamble responsibly.
The Ladbrokes transfer window is now open. It's been open all week, and we're giving you the chance to win VIP hospitality for two with Ladbrokes and their 1-2-3 promotion. It's a simple game of higher or lower. Get three in a row and you'll be away to the SPFL game of your choice, subject to availability. Let's meet tonight's first contestant. He's Darren from Croftfoot. How are you, Darren?
Not too bad.
Now, how Darren, you? Did you listen to this last night? Have you heard the competition before?
I listened to it last night.
Right, so you'll know the way it works. And in fact, last night's contestant, the first guy, came on, got three in a row, won the tickets, and that was it. So you're in the driving seat. We've got a queue of people behind you, but if you get three, the tickets are yours, okay?
No pressure.
So no pressure indeed. So I'm going to start you off with a transfer fee, and then you need to go higher or lower. You only need to get three in a row. So tonight we're going to start with Shinsuke Nakamura to Celtic, a fee of £3.78 million. So we're going to start there. I want you to tell me, was Nikita Jelovic Rangers to Everton higher or lower than Nakamura's £3.78 million?
Higher.
It was indeed. Well done. On to the next one. Nikita Jelovic from Rangers to Everton, £5.94 million. Was Yuri Yarasik from Chelsea to Celtic higher or lower than Jelovic's £5.94?
Lower.
Oh, he thought about it and he's got it right. And I'll tell you what, looking at the next one, I fancy your chances. That's all I'm going to say. Yarasik, Chelsea to Celtic, £3.15 million. Tell me, was Craig Gordon from Hearts to Sunderland higher or lower than Yarasik's £3.15 million?
Higher.
It was. It was 9.7. You've absolutely scooshed it. Apologies to everyone else who was in the queue. But Darren from Croftfoot, you are the winner on Ladbrokes transfer window. Hang on the line. Producer Andy will get your details. And subject to availability, you're off to the SPFL game of your choice with hospitality for two. Are you happy with that?
Aye, very happy, mate. Thanks.
Good man. And you're off to the Rangers game tonight as well?
Yeah, I am indeed, yep.
Assume you've got tickets for that one though. You don't need us to set you up tonight, do you?
No, I'm all sorted.
Good, because I don't think that's possible. But anyway, enjoy whatever game you go to when it comes around. That was Darren in Crawford. He says that.
Good on him.
I mean, some of these are quite tough, because I'm looking down the list and there's not a lot in them. But when I glanced down and saw Craig Gordon, you're thinking, well. But it's just the luck
record
of the draw.
For you at the time.
For a goalie, yeah.
Just depends how many we get through. So well done to Darren. Apologies to everyone else who was in the queue. But your chance will be here again at the same time tomorrow night. Right, let's revisit this teaser. Thank you to Eric Duff. And if you want to hear your question used on the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So Eric says 14 uncapped Englishmen have played for Celtic this century. We're going to cut that down a bit. Can you name the last 10? You've got Gary Hooper, Tyler Blackett. What was the one you shouted out?
Darnell Fisher.
Yeah, Darnell Fisher. Well done.
Patrick Roberts.
Yes.
Scott Sinclair.
Yes.
That's what I'm at. Only five. Yep.
Only five to go. Halfway through, just like that. Right, okay, we'll leave it there. You've got 15 minutes until kickoff. You've got about half an hour of the show left. So let's hear from you. Maybe you've been listening to the build up to Celtic's game at St Johnstone, or the build up to Rangers against Ross County. How do you think it's going to go tonight? What do you make of the teams? How would you like to see your team approach this one? 01419511025. Whilst we're waiting on you calling in, let's hear from Jack Ross. There was a Scottish Cup, well, two Scottish Cup replays last night, but Hibs are through to take on BSC Glasgow after beating Dundee United in last night's replay. In the battle of the strikers, it was Lauren Shankland. He opened the scoring with a fine finish, his 27th of the season, but he was outdone in the end by Christian Doige, who grabbed the hat-trick for Jack Ross's side.
Christian's been terrific since I came to the club. His goal scoring return over the past now 2.5 months has been excellent. His all round play's been good. Our attacking play has been pretty much been on the money in the main. Saturday with the exception, we were a little bit blunt, but by and large, our attacking players are in good form, and I would back them all the time to create. We've put a lot of emphasis on that, but giving them that freedom in the final third because they are good players. That part of it is not good coaching. It's just giving them the freedom to go and do that in the final third and backing them to create and score.
These are the guys that get the headlines, the goal scorers. It's Doige and Shankland, and tonight it's Morelos on the bench and Edouard playing in Griffiths. There's a reason that they get the headlines, and Shankland did his best, but really it belonged to Doige last night.
Yeah, I mean, you Liam Boyce, perhaps, made a big signing there and made a big impact at the weekend. And, you know, Lauren Shankland again, we just had 27 goals this season.
Yeah, plus one for Scotland. So,
yeah, so, and a lot of talk about whether, you know, someone came in at the last minute, and Robbie Nielsen didn't even say no, under no circumstances. He said, it depends on the fee. And I think that's, again, being honest.
Aye.
But Christian Doige, yeah, I mean, again, a player that got an awful lot of criticism in his early career, but under Jack Ross, he just seems to be relaxed. He seems to be scoring goals. And like any striker, brimming with confidence. Fantastic hat-trick in the Scottish Cup.
I think as well, on the case of Lorne Shankland and Robbie Nielsen, well, it was all down to Robbie and his assistant Lee McCulloch or their scouting network or whatever. But fair play to them. They have taken somebody that, you know, a lot of people kind of turned their nose at, oh, he's just a chap. Okay, he is still in the Championship, but he's fired Dundee United towards promotion for sure, and they've been taking 3 years to try to get back into the division. And they've taken a player for nothing and turned him into a £3 million asset. It's fantastic management by Dundee United and by Robbie Ashgar and Lee and Tony Ashgar. They lot of them. So it's been great business by them, and credit to him. Credit to Lorne Shankland as well for going on again and notched up, because when he's been at United, you know, people will maybe turn their nose up, but he's now Dundee United, a bigger club, etc. And it's been a great
chance for Hibs, though. You know, I mean, they're playing BSC at home. Away. And I think it's Alloa's ground, but it's not a bad ground to play it. Obviously, BSC train at the same place as us at Benburb Juniors. Mm-hmm. They have half the pitch tomorrow night. We have the other half. So I see Stevie Swift and the guys a lot. What a fantastic occasion it will be for them. I think it's going to be on TV. So brilliant for them. But for Hibs, what an opportunity to get to the semi-final. You know, I mean, it's a fantastic chance for them. So listen, BSC, it'll be a great crowd for them, great money spinner, great profile. Yeah. But for Hibernian and Christian Doige, another opportunity there to add to his tally.
Is a former Hibs manager one of the ten? I think he last played for Celtic in 2005.
Who are you on about?
Alan Stubbs.
Oh, no. No, he's just outside. So he's one of the ones this century, but he's not in the last 10.
So it's post 2005 then. It will be.
Well, no, I'm not going to give you all the ones that are in the other four, if you like. But Stubbs is one of them.
Steve Guppy. Did Guppy play for England?
Not one.
He must have played for England then. All right, okay. So it's after. Yep. So it's Gordon's, from Gordon Strachan's time on.
Right, we're going to try and get back to the two big grounds before kick-off. Let's squeeze in John and Paisley. Hi, John.
Hi, gentlemen.
How are you?
How you doing?
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Absolutely brilliant. Stuck in a ferry, but don't worry about that.
You're stuck what, sorry?
Stuck in a ferry.
Going where?
Coming home.
No, coming home.
Belfast.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right, I want to speak about Tony Fitzpatrick.
All right, on you go.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be a total... I don't know what he... the man is an absolute gentleman. I've had the privilege of seeing Tony Fitzpatrick when he was younger. I was a wee bit for St Mirren, watched him in Oldham. I had the privilege of actually knowing Tony very, very well. Played every second Thursday at St Mirren. No, St Mirren, Ferguson Park Football, the Old Crocs. I was only about 30. No, even 30. The support he gave me... let me... coach under 16s at St Mirren, but as a person, the man is absolutely there for people. He helps people. The club at his heart. He spent all time away for the club. You remember, he was a manager when he was a manager, and away again. There's things that you can. He is absolutely a total pro at football and as a person, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I really like that call from John, because as regular listeners, John phones in now and then, and he's a big Rangers fan. But sometimes these things are just, they, you know, transcend club rivalries or whatever. John's just paying tribute to a guy that he's got a lot of admiration for.
He's brilliant. You know, I can't disagree with his word that John says. Can only echo it. You know, Jim said Jim grew up close to Tony and played with him. I cite Tony Fitzpatrick was a manager who signed me for St Mirren in 1990. 30 years ago,
so
and then
decisions
obviously,
haven't been always great.
Yeah, you know, listen, that was one of his poor ones.
There's always a blip somewhere.
You allow that, you allow for that. But so I've known Tony professionally, involved in football, and also dealing with him for the past 25 years in the media. He's just a brilliant guy. As I said, he's St Mirren through and through, cares for the club, but even more importantly, as John said, first and foremost, what you want to be in life, or you try to be, or you should aspire to be, is a good person. And Tony is an excellent role model for all of us.
I think Tony, again, he had his own academy, his own kids football academy for a good number of years, and again helping young kids, and that was always something. Listen, he said more than one tragedy in his life as well, Tony. And you know, a lot of personal heartache. So I think he understands people as well. He understands the, you know, what people go through. And I think when you've had that life experience, even if it's tough, you know how to speak to people. So somebody like John, who knows him and can, you know, understands the person, Tony realises, yes, St Mirren's great and football's fantastic, but there is more to it than that, and we don't, you know, put football in it, and sometimes beyond the level it should be. It is a sport and it can give people a lot of joy, but Tony as a person, as I said, is one of the top guys. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and fully deserves this accolade of having the stand named after him.
John, that was really well said. Thank you very much for giving us a call. I will leave it there though, because I want to try and get back to McDermott Park and Ibrox for kickoff, and that's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That means kickoff is fast approaching at St Johnstone against Celtic and Rangers against Ross County. Let's head to Perth first, get a recap of the teams and a final build up with Alison Conroy.
The rain absolutely lashing down here in Perth as the groundsmen work on the pitch ahead of kickoff. Here's three changes for St Johnstone tonight, three changes for Celtic as well. The Perth side will have Xander Clark in goal, a back three of Callum Booth, Jason Kerr and Liam Gordon. In the midfield, Greg Tanzer, David Wotherspoon, Jason Holt, Ali McCann and Wallace Duffy, with Michael O'Halloran just in behind the lone striker of Callum Henry. For Celtic, Fraser Forster's in goal, a back three of Chris Iyer, Jozo Simonovic and Chris Julian. And it was Scott Brown and Callum McGregor, with the three of James Forrest, Olivier Cham and Greg Taylor. Up top for Celtic tonight, it's Lee Griffiths and Odson Edward. And your referee at McDermott Park is John Beaton.
Let's go to Ibrox then for a final build-up there and a recap of the teams with Andrew McLean.
Well, it's three changes for Rangers from that 2-1 defeat to Hearts on Sunday. Out go Flanagan, Jack and Aribo, in come Polster, Arfield and Ojo. So Alan McGregor starts in goal, a back four of Matt Polster, Connor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis and Glenn Kamara, with Shea Ojo and Ryan Kent either side of Jermaine Defoe. The substitutes, Fodringham, Edmondson, Patterson, Aribo, Jones, Barker and Morelos. As for Ross County, one change from that loss at Celtic Park, Lee Irwin drops out, Billy Mackay comes in. So Nathan Baxter starts in goal, a back four of Marcus Fraser, Col Donaldson, Keith Watson and Sean Kelly. The midfield five, Josh Mullen, Ian Vigers, Jordan Tilson, Don Cowie and Blair Spittle, with Billy Mackay the lone striker. The substitutes, Laidlaw, Fontaine, Draper, Irwin, Spence, Foster and Shaw. The referee here is Don Robertson. It's an expectant crowd here at Ibrox, and nothing less than a win will do for Rangers and their supporters as they look to get their title hopes back on track. Definitely not a full stadium, but I must say fair play to the small group of Ross County fans that have made the journey down here considering the conditions and the fact that it's a midweek game. The team's on their way out the tunnel at the moment. Rangers have won the last four fixtures between the sides. The last was a convincing 4-0 win in Dingwall earlier on this season, but Ross County did score in the last five ties before that and drew two of the games, so they'll feel as if they can cause Rangers problems. Will it be a reaction that Steven Gerrard is looking for tonight, or will Rangers falter for the second game in succession?
Just to dust off my football cliche book before we finish, surely Rangers could be doing with a fast start tonight, just given what happened on Sunday. Andrew mentioned an expectant crowd, and yes, I know you can win games in the last 5 minutes, I get all that, but you would just imagine Steven Gerrard, all the fans, the players, a sigh of relief if you can get off to a quick start.
Right out the traps. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it breaks the tactical plan of the opposition. You know, if you lose a goal, if the longer you stay that compact, the longer it's 0-0, you're not going to change, you're not going to try and nick at 3 points, you're just going to say that this will do us. But if you lose a goal early, somewhere along the line, yeah, you might try and keep it till half time, but somewhere along the line you're going to have to try and just push on a little bit. So yeah, absolutely, and it also calms the crowd as well. There's no doubt about that.
Next cliche, it's the same for both teams, and indeed it is. But the conditions tonight,
it's 11v11.
It is not a night for the faint-hearted out there. I'm looking at television pictures coming in from Perth, Jim.
Horrible night.
And it's not to say this becomes an excuse for whatever team does or doesn't win the game, but undoubtedly just makes people's jobs harder.
I think it's more harder for supporters. You know what I mean? They're the ones that are getting hit with the wind and the rain and stuff like that. The players just kind of focus. Yeah, it's not perfect, but as I've said before, McDermott Park's a good pitch. It's a big pitch. It's usually got a good surface. So keep the ball on the deck. I don't see it being a much of an issue. And Celtic, as I said, the way they play, I think they'll be absolutely suited, actually, regardless of the conditions.
It looks wet underfoot, but that's to be expected, I think, slick, after the rain that we've had. So we are underway in both of those games, St Johnstone Celtic and Rangers Ross County. We get a wee prediction from you both just before anything exciting happens.
I go Rangers 3, Ross County 0, St Johnstone 1, Celtic 2.
Okay. Tight in Perth, says Mark Guiri. Jim?
3-0, 3-0. Celtic and Rangers.
Bit of symmetry there as well. Celtic just in no hurry at the moment. 3 at the back tonight, passing the ball around. A lot of Celtic fans and onlookers like ourselves, I'm sure, will be interested to see how Greg Taylor does. You wouldn't have heard it, Jim, because you do other things on a Saturday, which is understandable. As soon as the game finished on Saturday, Celtic won the game 3-0. Every call we got through from a Celtic fan, including the ones that didn't make it to air, was all about Greg Taylor and the absence of Greg Taylor. And when are we going to see Greg Taylor? Well, he's in tonight.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've spoken about it a few times on the programme. And listen, I've said before, if you've got three left backs and three right backs of Celtic have got when El Hamid is fit, you don't want to play one on each side. So the nature is that the manager then decides who he thinks best suited to each particular game. And tonight he thinks that Greg Taylor is. Whether he keeps his place beyond that, you know, remains to be seen. But you know, it's a good opportunity for the night because he hasn't had a lot of first team game time. So
big,
I think it's a big chance
for Celtic early on. Nice link up play from Griffiths and Edouard. Everyone waiting to see what that partnership brings. A step over, if you like, from Griffiths to allow the ball to roll into Edouard. Fed in, and when the shot came in, it was low, and Xander Clark didn't quite get as much on it as he would have wanted. Almost squirmed in the end.
He spilled it, but it was back in the second ball quickly. But you're right, a lovely link up play from Griffiths. Nice dummy for Edward.
You're always looking for clues as to how games are going to pan out. Celtic are going to try and play out from the back by the looks of it, and St Johnstone are going to press them really high, Jim. We've just seen Fraser Forster with the ball, and so many players of both sides round about the edge of the 18. Celtic trying to play out, St Johnstone trying to prevent it.
Yeah, St Johnstone will try and stop Celtic getting control of the game, but it's very difficult when you've got good players, good movement as Celtic have. They mix it up in the midfield. Sometimes McGregor goes longer, sometimes in Cham, even occasionally Brown does it just to break the ranks. If you sit off the centre-back, sometimes you'll say to a team, let the centre-backs have it, but you know, Ayer will break forward. There's no question about that as well. So it's difficult, but St Johnstone will try that game plan for as long as they possibly can, and as I said, well, it still remains goalless even in the early part of the game, then they'll be quite happy just to sit in.
And if you're looking for clues early on from Ibrox, two balls over the top already for Rangers, both offside though. So Rangers perhaps looking to do something a bit different than what they would usually do. We've seen them work it out wide a lot, get a lot of balls into the box, trying to go over the top on these occasions, but Kent and Defoe both offside so far. It was a slightly different look to the Rangers team tonight, Jim. So maybe that is going to be reflected in the way they approach it, because it's Ojo and Kent providing the support for Morelos.
Yeah, again, as I said, you know, they need to get closer to him. I said that me personally, I think he's a fantastic goal scorer. I mean, his record, even though he wasn't at his best at the weekend, you know, he's still a fantastic striker. But I just think he needs that, those little slick passes around about the box. And sometimes if you get someone playing in that pocket, it just draws another defender into that area, and that leaves him, you know, a little bit more room to capitalise. And hey, listen, if you leave him room, he's going to punish you, because as I said, he's finished his outstanding.
For what it's worth, it's just the personnel. It doesn't look like there's a change in shape. Rangers still playing with the narrow tens, yes, to coin the modern phrase.
Well, it's like an old inside right, inside left almost, you know, because of the
big chance for Celtic, and Lee Griffiths should have opened the scoring. It was a cross from the left hand side. All he had to do was guide it with the head back into where it came from, and he did it, just got the angles slightly wrong and it drifts wide.
Oh, should have scored. And he's lovely ball in from Greg Taylor. It's hanging though, he'd have thought St Johnstone set a half would have got it. I think must be a bit of wind there in Perth, but he's just got to hit the target. He's maybe just tried to be too precise, because he's had a lot of time to look at the ball coming down. But encouraging signs for Celtic in the opening, what's that, 4.5 minutes?
Yeah, but I think again, you look where Lee Griffiths has pretty much, you know, right between the sticks, and you know, yeah, he's a fraction away. You're right, Mark, he tries to just guide it back across the goal. He's doing the right thing with the area where he's trying to go for, but it just went maybe 6 or 7 inches past the far post. So, but Celtic, two chances within the first few minutes.
Yeah, it's a head-to-head that Celtic have enjoyed a lot recently. Alison gave you some of the stats earlier on. It was 7-0 on the first day of the season. It was 5-0 in the cup last season. Remember, Celtic went up to Perth and won 6-0 last season as well.
Yeah. Sorry, scored four.
It is a head-to-head, and because we are set up slightly differently here, we get so much exposure to the same opposition. Tommy Wright has faced this so many times, and you wonder at what point, Jim, as a manager, if you're Tommy Wright, do you think, hey, what do I do differently? Because he's probably, and we've got the opening goal at McDermott Park, and it's Olivier Ncham. He looked like he enjoyed that one. Stories today linking him with a move to West Ham, dismissed by Neil Lennon, and Ncham bullets a header into the back of the net. 5 minutes gone, St Johnstone 0, Celtic 1. Talk us through that one.
What a brilliant goal. An absolute outstanding goal. The ball's played from Scott Brown into Edward. He lays it around the corners. Matt said earlier on, his strike partner Lee Griffiths, who lays it back to Edward, who then plays it wide to James Forrest, who doesn't break stride, bends it into the and Cham making that midfield player run in between. Great header, an absolutely outstanding goal from Celtic.
You know, and great to see such a brilliant delivery, as Jim said, from James Forrest. Yeah. They're much maligned, James Forrest, unfortunately, with a lot of Celtic supporters, but what a beautiful ball and a bullet header. You'd think that would be a striker that's put that in the goal. He's put it away with such aplomb, and as I said earlier in the programme, that's why, just one of the reasons why Celtic can't entertain selling Olivier Ncham during this window. But Tommy Wright will be raging, Gordon, with his defenders. They had a warning a minute earlier across from the other side, free header for Griffiths, and they've let Ncham ghost in to do it again. Very, very poor defending from St Johnstone.
I think the two strikers is giving a problem, Matt, because what happens when Edward comes short, the first defence centre-back goes with him. He plays it round the corner to Griffiths. There's then left space in the penalty box, and then Griffiths lays it back to Edward. So the two centre backs are almost marking Griffiths and Edward, and Cham just breaks the lines and runs right in between. Exactly what you want for your midfield player. But you're right, the cross from James Forrest was outstanding, and again a fantastic and outstanding finishing. Like, you know, Celtic are just in total control at the moment.
Rangers nearly opened the scoring a minute or two ago as well, but in unconventional circumstances. Polster, and he crossed from the right, and it was nearly carried into his own net by Nathan Baxter in goal for Ross County. I was just, as before the goal went in, we were talking about Tommy Wright and the sort of challenges, because I think it's in the last 8 meetings Celtic have scored 27 goals. Now within that time, he's probably had a go at Celtic. He's probably tried to sit off and stifle Celtic. Sometimes when the teams with the bigger resources and the better players, Jim, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, there isn't. You just hope that in one of those days then Celtic.
Greg Taylor nearly opens the scoring, doubles the lead, and Lee Griffiths as well. It really is one way traffic at the moment. I'll tell you what though, let's turn our attentions to the teaser because you've got some work to do. The last 10 uncapped Englishmen to have played for Celtic this century. You've got Gary Hooper, Scott Sinclair, Patrick Roberts, Darnell Fisher, and Tyler Blackett.
Sorry, Gordon, just there was another save there from Xander Clark, almost an own goal, because a slice clearance and Xander Clark called upon again. So he said about three saves Lee Griffiths has missed and Celtic have scored. So listen, on the teaser, I think Matt's got a couple.
I've got a couple of good ones. Kelvin Wilson and Ben Hutchison.
Yep, well done, Jim.
The only reason, because there's one that when Matt says Tyler Blackett, is it Andrew Blackman?
Oh, brilliant, well done.
Andrew Blackman, brilliant.
And was Danny Fox?
No. Scottish.
Oh, he played for Scotland, didn't he?
Right, quick.
Did you say Dylan Dembele? Canamoco Dembele. You get that?
Canamoco Dembele.
Yeah, we'll give you that. He was born in England, and as things stand, he's playing for England youth teams, and he's not been capped. So there we go. One more.
And I've got it. I'm chuffing myself. Yeah.
It's a really tough one.
I know it's a really tough. And I remember one of the games he played in, and who signed him?
Go on then.
It is the centre half, Josh Thompson. Signed by Tony Mowbray, and he played in the cup semi-final defeat against Ross County.
Well done. It's 1-0 to Celtic, and Ryan Kent's just had a low shot across goal, tipped wide for a corner. So Rangers giving it a good goal. Celtic in absolute rampant form at the moment. But only 9 minutes gone, a lot can change. Make sure you join us tomorrow from 6 with Mark and Gordon. We will look back on all of the big talking points from tonight. And in the meantime, Callum Gallagher is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.